Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, our guest is Stephen Balzac, a professor of psychology and former nationally ranked fencer, whose daughter is also a fencer. I'm also here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn. Our topic, boosting confidence by focusing on success.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick and Stephen.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Stephen.
Well, now, Stephen, tell me a little bit about your philosophy of building confidence.
Well, my approach to confidence is to focus on success. Pretty much every athlete has something they've done well or something they can imagine doing well. And that's where I always start. Focusing on the things that are going well, create successes. Create a series of successes in training, create successes in imagining, create successes in setting appropriate goals, and that is the accumulation of successes that starts to really build up the confidence.
Now, Patrick, what's your view on this?
Well, most people would say that confidence comes from success, so absolutely. I mean, confidence, the three pillars that I talk about in terms of where confidence comes from or the base support of confidence is obviously going to be past success, and what Stephen's talking about is helping athletes focus on past success. Practice and preparation, we could probably group those together, and belief in one's physical ability. So I talk about kind of the three pillars or mainstays that support an athlete's confidence, and I do believe success is a big part of it. I think the problem that we find, Stephen, is for the athletes that aren't having success, for whatever reason, they're in a slump, they're rising to the next level, you know, so they go from junior to high school or high school to college or whatever, or they're in a slump and they're not having a lot of success, it's very hard for that group to maintain that confidence. How would you approach that?
Well, let me tell you a story. This is a student of mine in my jiu-jitsu class who has had a number of significant physical, just not very physically coordinated, and has found, even at the very basic level, has found jiu-jitsu extremely challenging. And so what I did in working with her was to watch the way she moved, watch the way she approached a problem, watch the way she thought, essentially watch how she does problem solving, and then develop exercises that would give her the coordination, start letting her build the coordination, build the physical strength she needed, but also give her the opportunity to experience getting something successfully done. So maybe I had to modify a throwing technique, but I would do that, and she'd get it, and then we could go, once she started to get the modified technique, we could build it up. We could make it more difficult until finally she was doing the standard technique that any student would eventually have to do. The other piece of that was to work on imagery, to work on the concept, and this is something that parents have asked me very frequently. They say, my child, the coach says do this, and my child freaks out. And so the other piece was, what is the first image that comes into your head? Okay, let's change that image from an image of failure to an image of success.
Yeah, interesting. No. You know, I had a student, Stephen, a high school student that we were talking about using imagery and visualization before she hit her shot. She happened to be a golfer. And she talked about how she stopped doing it, because every time she tried to imagine or visualize or mentally rehearse a shot, in her mind, it was a bad shot. So have you come across athletes that in their mental imagery, it's all negative pictures that they're seeing?
Oh, yes, all the time. And there are several approaches that I take to that. One is that sometimes it doesn't require anything more than having a person sitting there describing the scene to them. By having a second person describing the scene while they sit there with their eyes closed, that's often enough to give them the different image. When that doesn't work, the image is, I will change it to an image of a different person. For example, I had a student who injured her shoulder. She was visiting another dojo, and she took a bad fall and injured her shoulder. And even when she was better, she was having a tremendous amount of trouble taking that fall again. So I sat down with her, and I started to work with her, and exactly what you're describing. Every time she closed her eyes and imagined taking this particular fall, what she saw was herself crashing and burning. So I said to her, okay, is there somebody who you think is really good who you know can take this fall? And she named another martial artist that we both knew. And I said, good, can you imagine that person taking it? Oh, yes, no problem. So that's what we did. We practiced imagining that person taking it and then slowly changing the image from the other person back to her.
That's an interesting tactic. And it sounds like it worked for her.
It worked very well.
Now, the other thing that you talk about that I think is really interesting is when you're, and I'm going to go back to praising and confidence, is praise in ways, it's praise things the kid has control over. It seems obvious, but it's an interesting point. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And I will mention that there's a tremendous amount of wonderful work that's been done by Carol Dweck and Albert Bandura in this area. But fundamentally, when you focus on what's on traits, when you say, for example, oh, you're so smart, that's why you did so well, or you're so athletic, that's why you did so well, what you're really saying is you did well because of something you don't control. Therefore, by extension, if you don't do well in the future, it is because you no longer have that trait. Therefore, the best thing to do to protect yourself is to look for easier and easier challenges. Whereas if you focus on, you really worked hard for that, you really practiced every day, I saw all that practice time you put in, you're praising the activity that led to the successful behavior or the successful outcome. And by praising and focusing on that activity, you're giving the kid confidence and reminding them that their actions are why they did so well, not some innate talent, which, you know, they may very well have, but it wasn't the talent that did it. It was the effort they put in, the time they put in, the concentration they put in that made it happen.
Interesting. So once again, something that they have control over.
Right. The more you emphasize what people control, the more belief they develop in their ability to have control. The more we
The
more we emphasize things that are outside of people's control, the more we send the implicit message that your success is random, that you don't have any control over that outcome, and that's very discouraging.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, and what about focusing on failure? You gave the example. You don't want to screw up again like you did last week.
Well, there's two components to this. One is that when we focus on failure, we create a pessimistic sense. We start looking at all the things that went wrong. And now here I'm drawing on partially on Martin Seligman's work. Focusing on failure tends to reduce creativity, reduce energy, whereas focusing on success increases creativity and energy. The other thing is that, and this goes back to the imagery, the image in your head is the image that you'll execute. So when somebody says, I'll make sure I don't move my foot this way, you know they're going to do it because it's in their head, because that's what's now in their head. And if you tell them, you know, focus on the success, remember the success, then they're going to, that's what's in their head, and that's what they're going to focus on.
Now, Patrick, what's your view of that?
Well, yeah, definitely. Whatever you put into that computer bank, so to speak, the mind, you're going to get that. So I'm completely concur with what Stephen is talking about. on that. I try to get my students to break it down to focus on little things that they can do in a very positive way. So I never want my golfers to focus on not three putting, because it just puts that in their mind. It puts the image in their mind. I always want them to focus on, you know, trying to one putt or two putt or less. You never want your goals or your objectives and what you're trying to accomplish be focused on what you don't want to do. And I think that's what Stephen is saying. You don't want to put in the no's and the avoids. You want to make sure that you're focused on success and what you're going to do successfully in that play or that situation.
It seems like it's so easy for kids to fall into the opposite, which is, I'm going to screw up, and I screwed up last time, and I'm going to do it again.
Well, I think to a certain extent it's the message that we tend to send, and as a cultural level, we're always saying, oh, look at what you did wrong, learn from what you did wrong. And while there's certainly an appropriate time and place for doing that, that time and place is not when you're preparing, and especially not when you're out there competing. I mean, it's helpful after a competition to look at your performance, look at what worked, look at what didn't work, look at what you can improve, but not with the idea of, oh, I failed this. I said to one of my students, a student came to me and said, Sensei, my throw was terrible. And I said, where's your partner? And he said, on the floor. I said, well, then it couldn't have been that bad.
Great, Stephen. Thanks again, and we'll have to have you back. I think we've just started to scratch the surface here.
Well, I enjoyed it very much, and I'd love to come back and talk with you further.
Great. Thank you very much.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.